And our title is Raw, the Language of the Psalms. Why this title? Well, when we look at the Psalms, in the Psalms, we see this kind of raw, gut-level, honest emotion that we ourselves experience as we live life and as we see in the actual wording of the Psalms. There's some very interesting phrasing in the Psalms. And as we see this, it instructs us, it guides and guards our hearts as we learn to speak God's words back to Him. That is, in fact, what they are. The Bible, in particular, the Psalms, are carefully crafted Psalms. It's not just a random spilling of emotion on a page, but they're carefully crafted words that God has given to His people in order to model how to pray to Him. As we see David and the sons of Korah and Asaph who pray these prayers, who write these prayers. And then we look back at, for David, say, in 1 Samuel, we begin to see his experiences, and then we see the Psalms, the prayers that are connected to his thriving in a relationship with the Lord. His sin, as he ran away from the Lord and he pursued his own selfish, sinful desires. His submitting to the Lord's discipline for his sin and returning to the Lord and saying, Lord, renew to me this joy that I once had. Give me a clean heart, a contrite heart, a repentant heart. And so over the next few months, we're going to focus on this language of the Psalms that we've become detached from. I say detached. Well, how have we become detached? Well, honestly, in several ways. One of the ways that we've become detached from the language of the Psalms is our pace of life. Our pace of life just goes from one thing to the next, and we wrestle to really slow down. Can you throw that next slide up there, the pace of life here? This fast-paced culture that we live in, and this distraction-riddled culture. In a matter of seconds, you can grab your phone, tap on your watch, and learn how to move your shed across your backyard. I had a buddy who did that one time. He's like, and this was like actually about 12 years ago. How to move a shed across a backyard. He was like, there are like 25 videos. Like, who thinks I have to move a shed? Wait, let's open up the production studio, record this. No. How to move your shed across your backyard, how to replace a part in your engine, how to learn how to properly swaddle an infant. All of these things we can find. And yes, there are distractions too. There are some wonderful, amazing things that come with the technology that we have. But as with everything in life, it needs to be directed to how we live and love and worship the Lord. This goes against the grain for us. And it means prioritizing God and His word enough. Now hear me. To slow down. You may be feeling impatient even now. Just get on with it. That's how we do. And so as a culture, as Christians, we need to learn to slow down. To breathe in the words of God. There are some things you can read in the Bible that, honestly, you can read fairly quickly and understand exactly what they mean. There are other things that you can't. The Psalms, Proverbs is another example. Boy, it really requires some labored thinking sometimes. What in the world are we talking about here? And it takes some work. It takes some effort. You know, the second way would be that we're distant in our culture is our desires. I think if we're honest, when it really comes down to it, it's not that we don't have time to read God's word. It's that we are pulled in many directions away from God, away from a singular focus on the Lord. And often we're quite happy with it. And I say that as one who stands at the front of the line. I'm not heaping judgment on you. But I pray that together we can learn to help each other slow down and sit with God in his word. God's promise is that the God of the Bible will satisfy every need of your soul. Do you hear that? Every need of your soul. Not a relationship, not a job, not a title, not money. None of those things will satisfy every part of who you are. But God will satisfy every part of who you are to the totality of who you are as satisfied followers of Jesus who find fulfillment and strength and power through the Holy Spirit with the Word of God. Second is a God-centered posture. We just don't speak this way. We don't think this way. Right? There is a manner of speaking and acting and responding to things in life that flow from what we believe. Don't miss that. It flows from what we believe. And what we need to do is keep coming back to the Lord to see how God uses difficulty, tragedy, grief, surprise, wonderful, joyous moments in the life of a believer to draw him or her to Christ and to help us grow in maturing to Christ. John Calvin said, a reformer, he said in his commentary on the Psalms, he said, Psalms are an anatomy of all the parts of the soul because there's not an emotion of which there can be conscious that is not here represented in the Psalms as a mirror. Or rather, the Holy Spirit has here in the Psalms drawn to life all the griefs, sorrows, fears, doubts, hopes, cares, perplexities, in short, all of the distracting emotions with which minds of men are wont to be agitated. You'll see yourself as you read the Psalms. You'll see in the psalmist's writing how they responded. It's not always holy. You'll see how they responded in sin and then how they came back to the Lord and how the Lord comforted them with his word. Third, we'll see the language of the Psalms, the subtitle for this series, the language of the Psalms. You know, the Psalms contain images. They contain word pictures, right? Several kinds, in fact, and we'll kind of, you'll hear me talk about them as we move through the series, but what we'll recognize is that because we're distanced from their time and their culture, what the metaphor that was used or the image, the word picture used in that day would be different for our culture today. Sometimes it's the same as we'll see today, but it's different in that day. And so we begin to think, okay, how does that connect to something similar in my life, in our culture? The truth, the principle is the same. But the word pictures, the images may shift. We're going to notice parallelism, right? Some of you, if you're about efficiency, okay, you're going to have to really kind of check yourself here because you're going to want to see, hey, let's move through this. Just say what needs to be said and move on. Well, the Psalms have parallelism, which are often similar phrases that repeat and build on one another. They have phrases that complete another phrase that you have to continue reading in order to discover. There's parallelism where phrases are opposite in order to draw contrast, which again, we'll see today. And often with this language of the Psalms, we really have to meet in the middle. Because in our culture, in our society, we often say our main point right at the front, or we use everything to build up to it to make our point toward the end. Well, the Psalms will, in many cases, dare I say most cases, use the beginning of the psalm and the end of the psalm and point in the middle, where the main meaning of the text is found in the middle of the psalm and is then often reinforced or restated in the latter part of the psalm. And then lastly, for the language of the Psalms, there's a word list that I want you to think, and you're going to hear me try to take some statements that we see in the Psalms and try to bring them down to our everyday language. So for example, today we're talking about blessed is the one, and I don't think I have this one on there, so you're on the right slide. Blessed is the one. Well, what does blessed mean? It means happy. Happy is the one, right? Confession. Children don't always know what confession means, but they do know what I'm sorry is. And we see a lot of Psalms in the Bible that say, I'm sorry, Lord. brings it down to language that we use on a pretty regular basis. Confidence psalms. Lord, I trust you. You're the one who protects me. You're my refuge. Lament. You ever gone up to somebody who looks fairly sad? How are you doing? I'm lamenting. We don't use that word. We don't use that word every day. You know what we do say? Lord, why is this happening? Lord, I'm confused. Father, I'm afraid of what's going on right now. Mark Vergop said, to grieve is human. To lament is Christian. And we'll look at that as we begin to look at some lament psalms. Do you know 59 of the psalms are psalms of lament? Over half of the book of Psalms contain lament. Praise, that one seems easier. I love you, Lord. Lord, you're fantastic. You're above everything else. I praise you, God. Or petition, Lord, help. I want to honor you in my life, but I need your help in order to do so. These experiences, they're common to every single one of us at different times. Often, these languages that we're talking about, these wording, these emotions that we feel, they stack. And we can feel many of them, even at one time. And the Psalms will help us learn to speak God's language back to Him. And I'm excited for what we're going to see. We're going to look today at Psalm chapter 1. So go ahead and open your Bible or open your Bible app and go to Psalm chapter 1. Today's message will be more brief, so I'm going to have to skim through some things. But before we do that, because we've had a lot going on in this survey, I mean, it's been a really, really wonderful morning so far. But we need to give ourselves this next 10, 15 minutes to really lean in to Psalm 1. And so I'm going to ask the Lord's help for us in that. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, would you sort of lean in and listen and answer us as we pray? Because as we lean into your word, we know that we need your help, and your answer is that you would give us understanding, that you would give us attention in the next few minutes as we dive into your word. Lord, we need you to uphold our life, to sustain us with the power of your word, because many in this room are godly who fear your name and desire to serve you. Be gracious, Lord, to us. We acknowledge that as we seek you for help, we come not deserving any of it. There are those in this room who do not know you as their Lord and Savior. They know religion. They may know church experiences that have gone badly. Many of us do. But Lord, we need your help to draw each of us to you. Those who are ungodly in this room and those who are godly, but only because of Christ's redeeming work. Lord, would you make our hearts happy as we look at your word? As we see how you care for us, help us lift up our burdens to you. Because you're good, Lord. You satisfy all of the desires of your children. Because when we delight ourselves in you, well, your desires become our desires. So satisfy us with good things. Satisfy us with yourself. Listen to us again, Lord, we pray. Listen to our plea for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. That was just Psalm 86, kind of restated in our vernacular. That was my prayer just then. Doesn't it help us to look at the Bible and to begin to see God's words in Scripture and say, oh, I'm going to take these six verses, I'm going to modernize them, I'm going to make the language everyday language, and I'm going to pray this to the Lord. It wasn't word for word. I added some things as I prayed and as I read the words, and it caused my mind to think about other things as I'm praying. I didn't have it pre-written because I just wanted to, I probably prayed it three different ways as I was thinking about this service. And even being here, seeing your faces, brings other things to mind. But the Psalms, the Word of God, keeps my heart knit to God's purpose as we talk to the Lord. The Psalms are divided into five books, like book one goes through the end of chapter 41, for example, and there are four other books that follow, and the helpful things that we see in Psalm 1 is that Psalm 1 is a wisdom psalm. Psalm 1, Psalm 1 and 2 is actually an introduction to the entirety of the Psalms. It was originally unnumbered, and it was placed at the beginning of the Psalms. They're not placed in the order that they were written, but they were it's placed at the beginning of the Psalm as a wisdom Psalm. And you'll see that. You'll hear Psalm 1 echo thoughts from Proverbs like these. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and all those who practice it, the fear of the Lord, have good understanding, and his praise endures forever. Or Proverbs 1:7, you'll see this language. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. Or Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. So here we go. How to be happy. Well, Pastor Matt, that seems kind of trite. No, not God's happiness. Our happiness, which is based on the circumstances that surround us, the bad days that we have that just wrecks our happiness. But we have a sustaining joy in the Lord. That's the kind of happiness we're talking about. Talk to your kids about how to be happy. Bring them to the Word of God. Help them see the Lord. We will be happy as we delight in the Lord. Let's listen to Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man, or how happy is the one who walks not in the counsel or advice of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, or those who mock the Lord. But, or instead, his delight is on the law of the Lord, or on the Lord's instruction. And on his law, on God's instruction, he meditates, or this word literally means murmurs. He murmurs all day long, all night long. He just, as he wakes, as he sleeps, as he goes to work, he's just murmuring on Scripture. He's like a tree planted by flowing streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers, and the wicked are not so. But they are like chaff that the wind drives or blows away. And therefore the wicked will not stand, or they will not endure in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation or the assembly or gathering of the righteous. For the Lord knows, the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. But the way of the wicked will perish, or their way leads to ruin and to destruction. This is a tale of two, those who are near to God and those who are far from God. Right in the middle of the psalm, verse 3, we see he, the righteous one, he who is blessed by God, is like a tree. Remember I was talking to you about word pictures, images? This is a word image right here. This is a simile, the word like or as, right? He is like a tree. He's not a tree, but he's like a tree. Planted by flowing streams of water that, of course, yields its fruit in its season. And its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The one who stays near to God is blessed by God. The one who stays near to God does what? Well, first, it's actually said negatively, right? Number one, he doesn't walk with the wicked. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't sit with scoffers. This covers the totality of how we live life. He lives a life that's untarnished by sin. Does that mean unimpacted by sin? No. Does that mean that he doesn't ever sin? No. No, but it means the character of his life is one that is fruit-bearing according to godly fruit. Well, how do we know what that is? Well, thankfully, the New Testament helps us to see more of what that is. Psalms and Proverbs help us know more of what that looks like. Leviticus helps us to see how we're to live in a way that sets ourselves in the path of God's blessing, if you will. Not God's blessing in order to receive salvation from the standpoint of earning it. I need you to be real careful to hear me on this because I don't want to miscommunicate with you. And I don't want you to hear me wrong. There's nothing that we can do in our actions to earn salvation from God. Every one of us in this room, your pastor included, I'd be sitting right here and looking up at somebody else preaching saying, amen, amen, amen. I've done nothing to deserve the salvation of the gracious, holy, almighty God. Not a blessed thing. But in Jesus who came and he lived on this earth and he paid a penalty that Pastor Matt, that Matt McGee deserves to pay. I'm not a pastor, in fact, because I'm anything special. You just have to get to know me for about 20 minutes. Some of you are going, I say 3 minutes. Okay, fair enough. Maybe that's true. Probably is. Jesus is special. Jesus paid a very costly penalty for my sin and for yours. But the Bible says that we will be blessed. We will be happy. We will be long-lastingly happy or eternally happy when we come to the Lord. In particular here, when we come to the Lord's word. Church, I wish you could hear me, please. Would you please listen to the Lord? Actually, forget me. Listen to the Lord here. Because there are some things that a preacher cannot ever do. I can't take this truth and embed it into your hearts. The Spirit of God has to do that. The Spirit of God has to take it. Prick open your heart and implant the medicine of his word to give you soul-satisfying grace in who he is. Would you let him do that in your heart this morning? But his delight is in the law of the Lord. He delights in God, and therefore he delights in God's word. You will only delight in the love letter you receive from someone very meaningful to you, someone very dear to you. When they are that dear, when they are a priority in your life. Otherwise, their word means nothing. The letter, it could have just been cut from Reader's Digest or some other clipping. But no, when you love them, when you know they love you and they want to tell you that they do anything for you, in fact, that they have done everything for you. That's the letter I want to lean into. That's the word I want to think about. When you study the word of God, commit it to memory. Think about it. Oh, Pastor Matt and I were talking about, I didn't have to do that since I was in Awanas. Well, why do we ask the Awana kids to do it? I think we need to consider that. Why do we ask Awana kids to memorize scripture if we as adults are not saying, Lord, I want to hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, Psalm 119:11. I want to know your word. Listen to Joshua 1:8. I'm skipping down here a little bit. I don't know where I'm at here. I've got it in here somewhere. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall be careful to observe all that is within it, obeying everything that is commanded in it. Why? So that your way would be prosperous, so that you would have good success. Commit the word of the Lord to your mind, so that as we live, as we delight in God, we will have a prosperous way. We will have good success. Hear me, spiritually, eternal good success. Not easy days, not easy living, not lots of money, not ever not experiencing pain. The Lord sends the rain on the evil and the good. He brings the sun on the evil and on the good, or on the just and on the unjust. The myriad of human experiences affect believers and they affect unbelievers. But in them we find healing. In them we find comfort in the Lord who sustains us through everything. The one who meditates on God's word is really happy. eternally happy, and produces the right kind of fruit in season. Remember, this is a tale of two. So the one who is far from God, verse 4 says, the wicked are not so, but they're like chaff. Right? You think about wheat, and you think about the part of the grain that gets produced, and it's useful, and it's usable, but there's chaff. It just blows off. It drifts in the air. You can see it at harvest at times. You see it on the ground. It's the part that gets wasted. It's blown away. Those are the ones who don't love the Lord. Well, Pastor Matt, that doesn't sound very kind. Actually, what's kind is not to tell you this. I'm sorry, what's unkind is not to tell you this. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, flee to him, run to him, come near to Jesus. Because the Bible says if you come near to him, he'll draw near to you. Every one of us is wicked before the Lord redeems our souls. The second is withered and it's dry. I don't have time to read it now, but Jeremiah 17 paints a picture of two trees. Now, Psalm 1 is talking about one tree and chaff. But Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 10, paint a picture of two trees. One who trusts in the Lord, and another who trusts in man, who makes flesh his strength, the prophet tells us. Therefore, the wicked, verse 5, will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, because the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. I want to just close with this question. Are you happy in Jesus? Are you known by God? Do you know God? You can come to church a whole lot of years. You can do a lot of things that look like you're doing the right things. My question is, are you happy in Christ? Or are you wondering why you're doing this thing? Because you can be doing this thing. You can play church and be dead on the inside. If you don't ever read your Bible outside of Sunday morning, I'm going to be real careful. I don't make this legalistic, but the Bible says that if we do, we'll meditate on God's word. We'll think on it morning and night. Or is the only time you ever open your Bible when you come in here? You know, that's possible for a Christian, but I will tell you this. You're not a happy and fulfilled Christian. Mark it down. If you're not in the word throughout the week, there's so much more happiness, so much more joy that the Lord has for you in him. God has given us several ways that we can recognize this, that we can see this, that we can remember all of the things that he's done for us. The first is the Bible. The second is the church. As you saw, demonstrated this morning, this is how God has called us to live interdependently with one another. And thirdly is the Lord's Supper, or as we often call it, communion, the second ordinance that God has given his church. And Jesus said, do this until I return. Remember who you are in me. Remember what I've done for you. You see, a happy Christian is one who remembers God because he or she knows God. And because we believe Jesus' promise when he says, come to me. Everybody who carries a heavy load, I will give you rest for your souls. There's nothing happier than that. That we don't have to carry it. We don't have to do it right every time. But we come to Jesus. We follow faithfully, with loads of thanksgiving for what he's done. Let's remember that as we take the Lord's Supper here.